Well, welcome to Show the Value of Your Network with Analytics. My name is Dean, and I'm so glad that you chose our session this afternoon. Everybody's got choices to make. I'm glad you chose us. I'm going to start out today with a question, and raise your hands if you've been using Yammer for over a year. Okay, keep your hands up. Keep them up. How about since the acquisition? All right. Still got some hands up there, okay. 2011. Still got some hands up, okay, good. 2009. Anybody go back that far? Okay, you two guys. All right, I think you the guys are the last two standing. When did you start? What month? Okay, and you, sir? Ah, okay, all right, so he wins because you know when that was. Yammer officially launched September 8th, 2008. So they went to TechCrunch that year. So this guy right here, this gentleman right back here gets a t-shirt, and my friend Ed's going to get you hooked up there. Awesome. Great. Thank you. You, sir, are a son of the digital pioneers. Very cool. All right, so as we get going here, again, my name is Dean Swan. I'm the director of product for Tigraph. And I'm honored to have some co-presenters. Some will be virtually. Melanie Hohertz will join us virtually via audio here in a bit. And down here on my right, Simon Denton from MOP-MAC and Becky Beneshek from Crisis Prevention. They're going to come up and join us here in a few moments as we get going. I'd also like to acknowledge some contributors to the overall presentation today, Ms. Lonnie French from The Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. She'll be here helping us answer questions a little bit later. And Lee Schubert from Dimension Data. Okay. In my role as Director of Product, I am keenly interested in innovation. And there's a story from Clay Christensen, who's a Harvard Business School professor, that I want to share with you today because it illustrates a perspective I want you guys to have as we go on our little journey around social analytics today. There was this fast food restaurant trying to boost the sales of its milkshakes. And they would sit down with customers and they'd ask, "What do you want? Do you want it chunkier, chewier, chocolatier, what can we do for you?" And they would make those changes and nothing worked. That was until somebody on the team said, "You know, I wonder what job the customer is hiring the milkshake to do." That changed their perspective. They went back down to the restaurant. They started confronting customers in a good way. "Hey, what job did you buy that milkshake for?" And they would say, answer the best way they could. So they gathered all the data, they started looking at it, and what they discovered was the people buying these milkshakes would come in before 8 a.m., alone, and then leave the restaurant. After analyzing all that data, what they found was these people had a long, boring commute to work, and the milkshake's job was to get them there, have something to do, give them some breakfast. And the milkshake happened to do that job better than any other food, not a bagel, a banana. You know, they tried Snickers once, you know, felt a little guilty. But the milkshake really did the job. Once you understand the job to be done, how to improve becomes obvious. So, once you understand the job, you want analytics to do for you and your stakeholders, once you understand that, you have a greater chance of success. Okay, now, we're going to find out that very often, the job you're hiring analytics to do is to show the value of your network, to validate your strategy, your initiative, your campaign. And then we'll come to the realization that based on the change, the velocity of change that we're facing in our organizations, we need different analytics depending on where we are. Now, data science. I promise this is a 200-level session. I'm not going to jump into the Bayes theorem, but there are a few things that I'd like to throw at you from concepts and some action items to go with them. The first of these is why. Why do analytics? Because the basic premise of data science and analytics is to extract knowledge from data. Now, what are we going to do with this knowledge? All right, let's be honest with ourselves. We want that knowledge to help us make money, save money, or create opportunities. All right, the first two are pretty obvious. But what about that third one, create opportunities? That's my favorite. A biomedical professor at the University of California, San Francisco, a guy by the name of Atul Butte, put it this way. Hidden in that mound of data is knowledge that could change the life of a patient or change the world. So what I want you to ask yourself right where you're sitting right now is my organization, do we treat data as a strategic asset? The answer to that question will help determine, again, your success in this area. I've been in the IT business about 24 years, and I'm about to drill down my accumulated wisdom to this. Problems do not care how you solve them, but stakeholders do. So if you're going to solve a problem, if you're going to use data to solve a problem, use a process. And here is kind of the other piece of that. You want to deliver confidence with the evidence. Your stakeholders are going to require it, and if they don't, you might want to figure out why that is. Okay, now, we have gone on, me and the team have gone on a number of painstaking safaris through the nightmare jungle known as APIs. And we've come out the other side okay, but it's because we went in with a structured intent. We knew what we wanted to get out of it. We did it with a process. So follow a process. Now we're going to start talking about value is in the eye of the beholder. Your executives will have one view of the world, your admins another, and your users yet another. Now you might be feeling like your Yammer data is somehow this incomprehensible pile of goo. But it's not. It can be traversed with analytics. What you need to do first is find that superset of stakeholders, identify them, get them grouped appropriately, and understand what they're looking for. Now, you can look at your Yammer data, and you will find something. Now, here's the thing. It may not help you. It may not generalize above where it is to an action that you can take for your network. And let me give you an example. We recently did some data discovery with a customer, and we found a thread that had 13,000 responses. Now, that's very interesting, and it turned out to be a direct message exchange between two summer interns. Don't know what they were talking about. We don't keep that kind of data. But while we identified it, it just didn't help us. So we left it. A general prescription, avoid vanity metrics. Avoid any metric that does not support your social strategy. Now, I want to put this bottom line in your lexicon. Ask your metrics, so what? So what, now that I know this, what can I do with you? And keep the context of how the data is going to be used at the forefront of your mind. Okay? The retail giant Target recently figured out that they could predict whether or not someone in the household was pregnant based on what was in their shopping basket. I know. Let's send them all diaper coupons.
Who thinks that's a good idea? Yeah. All right. Obviously, you don't bear children. Just kidding, maybe you do. The thing that somebody on the team realized, like my 83-year-old mother, just because you can, Dean, doesn't mean you should. So somebody else on the team said, you know what? If we just go send them diaper coupons, that's going to put us way up here on the creep meter. We may not want to do that. So they looked at the context in which they were going to use the data, they adjusted their strategy, and yeah, they still sent the diaper coupons, they just hit them with the beard conditioner in the charcoal briquettes. So they just adjusted their strategy. All right, metrics that matter. Now, let's take a look at those ideas that I mentioned before of value and validation and velocity and apply them in real-world situations. Now, as I mentioned before, my dear friend and former colleague Melanie Hoherz couldn't join us today, but we're doing the next best thing by having her join us virtually. So bear with me while I hit this button.
Hi, everyone. Glad to be with you virtually.
Hi,
my take on analytics is this. I can't see managing a network without it. I run a 33,000-person network with more than 100,000 trackable actions per month. I need insights from analytics because I can't read everything going on in my network. Even if I did, I'd miss conversations, patterns, and opportunities. I could spend hours every day scanning, or I can rely on my tyGraph thread view. This shows our most active conversations by responses, likes, and contributors. It won't catch everything valuable going on, but it's a punch list of threads to check out. Did this conversation share a solution or create a new one? Did it connect people from across my company? I can't see leaving our network value discovery to chance. Serendipity is not a strategy. All the time, analytics shows me conversations I wouldn't have noticed and people I wouldn't have noticed. And these threads fuel my reports for leaders on network value. In value reporting, examples rule. After all, activity is signals of value, not actual dollar signs. My reports are not financial analysis of proven ROI. Show me one network that does that, not mine. Because how much is one conversation worth? How much is all your conversations worth? That's a level of detail and investment that you can't do. It's insane. I go for proof by progress and proof by examples. I show trends and I show threads, ones with ahas, solutions, obvious value, and my analytics, my thread view, delivers that for me.
Thank you, Mel. Appreciate that. Okay, now this next example comes to us from another dear friend who's over in the UK. Her name is Lee Schubert. She's the business change manager for Dimension Data. Dimension Data is the technology partner for the Tour de France, that great race that happens every year over there. They have revolutionized the use of data in conjunction with the race. They've put sensors on bikes, they can tell the distance the riders cover, the gaps between them, and much, much more. And Yammer has become their collaboration space to support the Tour de France. In fact, one of those groups is called Share the Greatness. And Lee created this group with the objective of having a place to share your stories, your successes that the team was doing with the Tour de France. In that group, they had a photo competition, and the rules were pretty simple. Take a picture of you or your team, use the hashtag Share the Greatness, and post it to Yammer.
users voted by hitting the like button. Now, the purpose of this campaign was really twofold. First, they wanted to pull people into the platform, and this competition was one way to do that. And secondly, they just wanted to have a fun way to celebrate their success. Now, even though the event was happening in France, employees all over the world could contribute and participate. Now, a couple of interesting things happened related to analytics with this competition. First of all, the executives began to see the value of Yammer because they had some data. They could get their heads around this notion, as Lee says, connectiveness, this idea that Yammer can help us do that. And now they had some data. As you can see here on the screen, that's a postcard that Lee created from the data that we collected on her behalf, because it was topical, trending, and timely. So let's take a look at the raw data. Now, I hope you can appreciate we've redacted or obfuscated or marked out with a crayon all the stuff that we can't share with you. But as you look at Lee's report, and you'll notice this is an actual report from the analytics solution. And on the top right here are the likes per photos. And on the bottom below that, I love this one because remember that rule that we said for the competition? Share it in the Share the Greatness group. Well, that's the list of groups that they actually use the hashtag in, which is totally okay. It's all right to color outside the lines with Yammer. It really is. The other things on here, you can see we've got we're tracking the topic mention over a 2-month period. Okay. Now, here's where it gets really human, very real. They took this same approach with a campaign called Bicycles Change Lives. They created a group in Yammer, which became their focal point, their rallying spot for fundraising for a very special charity called Quebeca. Quebeca believes by mobilizing people with bicycles, they can change lives and create access to education, opportunity, and healthcare. And Dimension Data strongly believes this and rides and raises money for Quebeca. In fact, they say, and I'm quoting here, it's not an afterthought. It's why we clip in and ride. And by riding, they raise money. And the analytics reflect back to the community this spirit of giving, this whole notion that by seeing others give, they promote that incredible gift of bicycles to people who need them. And I can't think of another or better way to demonstrate value than helping someone else in need. Okay, now, remember the first thing we talked about was demonstrating value and why? Well, here's the really important, now, the why. This is going to be very different than the two examples that I gave you previously. I had a customer come to me, and they said, Dean, I want to tell you a story. Our otherwise thriving network was almost killed by a set of, I call them rogue executives. I don't know what the right word, term for it they are. But they wanted to kill the Yammer, an entire Yammer network. Why? Because the team had not been proactive in sharing their data. Now, obviously, I can't tell you who that is. But they left me with this. If you don't show value, people are going to assume there just is none. All right. Now, we're going to tackle is this thing working? And here to join me on the stage today, Mr. Simon Denton, business architect from Mott MacDonald. Simon, come on up here.
Okay. Oh, thanks for that. Yeah. Hope you can hear me all right.
I can hear you. How about you guys?
Right.
Good?
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Last minute rush in to get the microphone on, so yes.
You want me to do the slides for you, or you want to?
I'll
put you in control too. There. It's probably better.
Okay, so let's have the one about me then.
Yep,
okay,
there we go.
Okay, so I firmly believe you can't drive adoption of anything in Office 365, in fact, any sort of technology without data. I mean, how can you go to your boss and say, we're going to do all this great stuff, but I can't show you any evidence, right? You need some evidence. And in Office 365 and things like Yammer, data is where the evidence comes from. And they provide you that actionable insight that really helps you say, well, actually, something good's happened. Oh, no, maybe that's not happened. That's worked. That's not. Now, the main thing is, this is data from our own network, okay? Now, I'd like to stress now, I'm completely vendor agnostic. I tell you what, the two leading vendors, if my pockets were deep enough, I'd buy both products. I'd probably buy a third just to complement the other one. But the point is, the numbers do not lie, okay? If I said to my director, we're going to run this 30 days of Yammer campaign, I have no idea how that's actually going to turn out, but it's going to be good. But I need four people for 4 weeks full time. He'll go, no. I mean, where am I going to justify the business model to do that? The way I justify it is that dirty great spike that says 31 days worked really well. As with most trends, up is good, down is bad. So the little spike down at the end of September is just really a glitch in the data just when it's harvest. But the point is, I got a massive spike. We worked darn hard for 30 days. We changed the way people viewed Yammer. And as a result, I got a great spike. Evidence and actionable input. But the other thing is, there's two little pivot points right at the bottom of the mountain. Once it all died down, we exited at a point where we are higher than when we went in. So I say the effort was worth it in that period, but then we kept going back up the slope. And you cannot underestimate the power of that in convincing people it's doing the right thing. And you can see there's other spikes there. Now, Mott MacDonald, we used to have a logo which looked like the golden arches of, the famous burger flippers. We realized we were very close, we'd get confused. You work for Mott MacDonald, the burger people? No. So this year we changed our brand name. It's nice, it's probably on my top here. It's two little M's. We launched our new brand, there was a lot of buzz around it, and we tracked the conversations, and you can see the impact. We changed the name of the way the company has appeared. We didn't change the name, the way they appeared. Again, you just get that little push, a little bit of a spike into your network. And the third one was, I don't know about you, but we had a really big clampdown on business travel, a huge clampdown following the recession. And one of the things we said was we need to use Yammer as the conversational fabric. We need to connect more people. Yes, we'll fly people in, but let's cut down the travel. Let's get people talking and busting those silos. So we ran a big forum, used Yammer as the fabric. Here is, again, the impact of that. And I can tell you, we've run many forums like that now, and we've knocked about £5 million off our travel bill, global travel bill of about £110 million per year. So it really makes an impact, and you can see the impact, not just there, but on the expense claims as well. Now, the point is, the numbers, they really don't lie at all. And the problem is, unless Microsoft come out with something at Ignite, and I really do hope they do, you can only go so far. The services they provide are around feeds, speeds, little bits of insight, things you can join together. You will have to spend some money. I'm really quite sorry to say that. And so, yeah, really, I think, I can't see my notes, that's why.
Wait, I need to go back a slide there.
I think I need to go back. So, okay, I've been tricked. Here's one I've not rehearsed earlier.
Here you go.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I just really wanted to kind of to focus on the other part of using analytics is you're probably faced with the question, I was faced with the question, is what does good look like? No one sort of knows what good really, really appears. And the beauty of analytics is if you want to, you could compare yourself to someone else. Now, okay, what's good for one is not quite good for the other. It could be bloody terrible, actually. People might want to be seeing great big drops because they're moving workloads from one area to another. But the point is, you can look, you can compare yourself to others, you can get that factor, you know, I am doing the right thing. I mean, driving adoption or statistics, it can be a lonely furrow, and that's where the data really helps. And that's what I wanted to kind of wrap up and finish on.
All right, thanks, Simon. Let's give Simon a hand for coming up here. I appreciate that. Very good. All right, we're gonna hear from Mel again. She's gonna tell us about better information fueling better campaigns. All right, Mel, go ahead.
Hi again. Back to talk strategy and tactics. A plan starts with strategic goals, like building strong groups, leveraging power users, and engaging leaders. Then the plan hits the road with campaigns. The thing is, you don't just run campaigns. You measure, because, hey, can we do this better? Or should we stop doing it? Are our network trends changing? What do we do more of, and what do we do less? Here's a fresh example of a campaign that runs on analytics. Back in June, Microsoft gave us a GoPro camera. They told me, use it to drive engagement. Okay, I came up with the helpful campaign. 1 week, start to finish. Really simple. I posted a network-wide announcement challenging everyone to post something helpful. I said, we all know something helpful. What we need to do is share it. So anyone around the world can win this GoPro. Just post something helpful. Put it in a group where someone might expect to find it and add the hashtag helpful. Go. And yes, we got helpful posts, more than 600 in a week. We used TIGraph Analytics to find every post with the topic and everyone who posted. That made it easy to draw a winner from Costa Rica. This campaign was awesome. People were sharing what we know and thinking about where to post. People got likes and thanks and said they learned helpful things. And my company has more expertise and more experts than before. And months later, people are still using the helpful hashtag. We see that in our analytics. And I found some new power users. This campaign was easy, fast, and cheap. And it's repeatable. Our next round will hashtag innovation or safety. Our first campaign is our baseline, and we aim higher. Absolutely, we run better campaigns with analytics.
Thank you, Mel. All right. Now, what we've found as a provider of social analytics is that everyone that has a network can find themselves on that social maturity continuum. When you're early on, you know, you're looking for that critical mass that you're trying to drive adoption. You might be looking for this, the hockey stick. You want to see that growth go from just you and hockey stick up. Now, that's a North American phrase, so I'll just take a second to explain that. That's you at the bottom, and then at the top are a bunch of new users. And that might be what you're looking for, hopefully, at the beginning. But as you mature, other metrics take over and become what you're looking for in terms of the normal running of your network. And then finally, a bolt out of the blue happens. And what you care about shifts radically. Could be a merger, an acquisition, new product launch. It's just that bolt that you have to deal with. Now, here to help us understand different analytics being needed over time is another one of my good friends and colleagues, Becky Benishek. Please join us here, Becky. You got your mic? You're all set?
I think so.
All right. Awesome. Good.
All right. You can do the clicker. It's fine.
I can? Okay. Awesome.
Yeah,
I will. Just tell me when.
Okay. Let's go. All right. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our company first. And basically, CPI is a training company. And it's all about behavior management. We train people who are in potentially violent and dangerous situations. And we teach safe, non-harmful methods to keep themselves, their staff, and their customers safe. So that's us. So our customers, we have about 26,000 and growing. These are the people we train. In turn, over the years, these people have trained over 10 million of staff. So the big point here is they are busy people. And here I come thinking, hey, here's Yammer. Let's build them an external network. Because they're busy. But it's interesting the way our dynamic is. Sometimes they can be kind of isolated. They could be the only person who does what they do that they know of in their town, their state, their region. And we kind of wanted a way to connect them because, sure, they can call us, but office hours close. But social media and stuff, that's online 24/7. But would these really, really busy people actually even want to go online? And if they did, how could we prove it? So that's where the unanswered threads metric comes in. So we built the Yammer network. I put in some beta testers first. We invited in some groups, just, you know, select isolated groups. And then we did one of the hardest things for us. We waited to see what they do. And we watched. And what we saw was people were trying it out. They were posting questions, but we had some crickets chirping because people are kind of afraid to be the first person to put the toe in the water and answer. So at that time, we had a 24-hour period where we waited for someone else to answer, and then we as CPI staff would jump in because we just wanted to show that, yes, this is how you do it. We're showing by example. We also didn't want people, you know, newly joining the network to see absolutely nothing. But this unanswered threads metric helped us immensely because, as you can see, outside of the glossed out part, is that you can see the thread that has never responded. You can see who started it. You can get a link right to it. And there's even a section for likes and shares, because as we know, sometimes things don't actually require a comment, they just require a like. But this way we could individually go right to the thread in Yammer and see what was going on, get to it, answer it, and not just depend on our eyeballs.
Yeah, so this was something that you needed early in your network.
Yes,
early.
So okay. At that point we were still growing. Now, another thing about CPI is we are very person-centered, and that's the kind of stuff we teach, and that's the kind of people we are. You call us, we have a 2-call maximum. Somebody will always pick up the phone. We still use a fax machine. We have a typewriter somewhere in the building. We use, you know, phones to like walk over, hey, I sent you an email, did you get it yet? It's like, yeah, I just tried to, but hey, let's talk right now, you know? And it's reflected in our customers too. So again, here they are busy. Here we are trying to throw this online thing at them. So I made it an opt-in strategy from the start. I really wanted people in there who had the time and inclination to be in there. But you know, we had to go through our growing period first, because communities, unfortunately, have that one thing. Everybody wants to be in a community that's already thriving, but you kind of need people in it first to get to the thriving part, and somebody has to be the first people to do it.
Okay.
You can click that. So fortunately, though, as we went on, more people started joining. The months went by. This is an actual view we pulled back, and it shows August 2014, which is when we launched, all the way to today. And I can see, because of this new monthly trend metric that I was now switching to from unanswered threads, I could see the threads, messages, and message likes that they were doing. It wasn't us as much anymore. As more and more people joined and word got out, I could pull back, relax a little bit, and see, well, let's say, what's really going on? And what I noticed was what was happening offline reflected what's happening online. So our soft launch period is right there, as you can see. Then we had a big offline conference in July in New Orleans, and we were telling people, you know, on the phone or on our own websites, things, go to Yammer, talk about it, and they did. The level went down to an appreciable level after that. And then we had, let's see, we had the festivities. No one was around in December. They all needed to recover. And then we got a bright idea. One of our instructors did, actually. This is actually in the Microsoft Tech community, but I did bring it as a visual aid. We decided to include this analog way to get people on a digital forum. These instructors that we teach go through a 4-day exhaustive intensive training. It's pretty cool. We all go through it as employees too, so we know what we're talking about when we talk to them. And we thought, after these 4 days, they might not remember all the little minutiae that goes on in that class. They each get an instructor kit. In that kit, we put this postcard. It talks about it. Be part of the CPI instructor community, that's what we call it. On the back, though, we have a place for them to write down the first question they want to ask when they get to Yammer, and then the names of people in their class. Because another unique thing about our classes is they can draw people from other towns, districts, even industries. And so they might never see each other again. And, you know, they get an email list every once in a while, but that kind of peters out. But, you know, Yammer kind of sticks around forever. So that happened. And then we thought, all right, we got enough people in here. Let's just try YamJam. And as you see, we had two in relatively close periods of time. They did exceptionally well. I was able to track that now here with these analytics. And these two, they pleased the executives, and it was well worth the time and effort we put into it. We're definitely going to have more. And then summer came, and our biggest market is education. All the teachers are at the beach. They're definitely not on Yammer. That's okay. Important thing is don't panic when you see these ups and downs. Just take a moment and think what's going on offline. And then things started ramping back up, and they're still going up today. Okay. So as we've kept maturing, we had that unanswered threads. I still keep an eye on the monthly trend we just saw, but now I can look at the top threads by impact, which is really, really cool. So if this weren't grayed out, you'd see all these interesting conversations. But it's telling me what our customers are talking about. I kind of feel like this big, giant, big brother eye just kind of looking at them sometimes, you know, but it's really cool to see where their pain points are, which topics come up the most often, how we can help. Maybe there's a resource that they're asking for without directly asking us that we should be putting out for them. And I've also identified where the YamJams were just because we really just had such a good time with YamJams. I mean, that still remains our top threads, so that's pretty cool. I think that's it. All right. So I've still kept my opt-in strategy. I don't think that's going to change. With these metrics, I can prove that I shouldn't change it because it's working for them. The people who are in there are just, they want to be in there, I can tell. There's people have hung on over the summer drought. They've hung on through the holidays even. So while you see the active users is well below 26,000, I'm not actually worried because I can see these other metrics I've got here, 30% engagement. I've got over 2 threads per contributor. I've got over 8 messages per contributor. This Yammer network is working for us. And I can keep proving this to anybody who has any qualms, or they do happen once in a while from various executives. It's like, no, it's working. And my favorite number is a responded not at mentioned percentage. And what that means, and that has hovered at 58% for months now, mm-hmm. is that somebody posts a comment or a thread and doesn't tag anybody. Nobody's waiting to be tagged to jump in and answer. They're just jumping in and answering. And that just makes us feel so good. We know that this is worthwhile to them. Because that's really the bottom line. You know, if they're not going to use this network, there's really no point in wasting anybody's time. But because they are, we can help measure and show the value and show the success. And then keep working on our strategy. That's it.
Thank you, Becky.
Thanks.
Appreciate you coming
up here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Now, as we come to the end of our time together today, we've shown you that you can show the value of your network, you can validate your strategy, your campaign, your initiative, and you can deal with that velocity of change that we see in our organizations today. And I want to leave you with a couple of closing thoughts. First of all, if you aren't using Power BI, run, don't walk, to a browser near you and type in powerbi.com. It really works, and it is an amazing tool to have in your pocket. And then the last thing I want to leave you with is already, I mean, it's only Tuesday, and Yammer got some love yesterday. I mean, all right? I mean, that's pretty cool. That was awesome. And it's going to continue. But what with Microsoft doing with Office 365 and Yammer, for those people that are community managers today and IT brothers and sisters that are driving social change, the way you work in your business, you have an opportunity and a responsibility, really a responsibility, to drive that change further and move from community manager to something that I like to think of as collaboration manager. The opportunity is there, and as things continue to change under us, go find that value for your organization. I want to thank you for your time today, and we'll stick around and answer some questions. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, we got a few minutes for questions. If anyone has, please step up to the mic.
All right, thank you. Oh, you got a question? Oh, you just want to hit me up here. All right, thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.